Would back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll read our text again. And again, I'm going to do our best to conclude this here tonight. I guess the older I get, the harder it is for me to get through a sermon in one sitting out. Now I have the privilege as a pastor. We joke with Brother Shane about being long-winded sometimes, but he only has one time to get through it. You know, he may not preach for a little bit longer. And so, I've been there. When I'm not preaching here, I'm known to stretch them out close to an hour. Amen. But when I'm here, I've got the liberty of saying, look, I'm going to put a bookmark right here, push pause. I'll come back tonight. And I had the great joy, and to your benefit of attention span, I get to do that. Amen. But anyhow, I think it is a blessing that we can take time and study the Word of the Lord together. And God is definitely good, and He is faithful. And we've talked this morning in great detail about this idea of the cure for ignorance. About this idea, we do not need to be ignorant about death. For the believer, the death of the believer. And look there, if you would, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 13. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again that we're able to gather in your name. And we, this morning, God, we endeavor to enter into this subject, this idea of the death of the believer, and the ignorance that seems to pervade the minds of so many in this world. But God, you wanted us to be sure. You wanted us to have answers, God, about this. That when somebody leaves this world in Christ, God, that we have hope and we can have joy and understanding of what this is, what this means to us. And God, how we with a spirit of expectation can look forward to that day of the blessed resurrection. Be with us tonight as we go through this some more. Be with us and touch us in the name of Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. Amen and amen. So this morning we had a lengthy introduction. We got to our first point that talks about the evidence that affirms his coming. And what I want you to notice this morning, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but this afternoon when I was reading over these verses again and taking time to study, that this morning I shared something with you that I would call past evidence. Now, I didn't think of it this morning like that, but I thought of it here this afternoon. It's past evidence. If you would, it's faith that is looking back. And what are we looking back to this morning? We are looking back, number one, to the fact that if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. That's already taken place. Jesus died and he rose from the dead, and there we have this great assurance that those which are asleep, God is going to bring with him. Now that's talking about the second coming, obviously. It's talking about the parousia, which is the original language, means his appearing. There is going to come a point in time after the rapture of the church, after the tribulation, he's going to return to this world with all of the saints. Amen. You get to be a part of that, and I get to be a part of that. And this is stapled down, if you would, in the great principle and fact that Jesus Christ died and he rose again from the dead. And then we talked about the second past evidence, if you would, the fact that this is the word of the Lord. For this we say unto you, Paul would say, by the word of the Lord. If we believe that God's word is true, if we believe that God is trustworthy, brothers and sisters, then we can take it to the bank that those who die in Christ, we
will come back with him. There's going to be a resurrection. There's going to be a time that God's going to make all things right and all things new. This is the basis by what Paul is saying by the word of the Lord. Now again, we are not told when he was given this word, but we do know this, that it's mentioned time and time again in the Bible, that there's going to be a time of the resurrection of life, the resurrection of believers. But before I can leave this point here this afternoon and move on in this message, we got to focus on this just a little bit more. This word of the Lord, this assurance that Jesus has died and he rose from the dead, what does that mean for us? It means that Jesus Christ conquered death. He conquered it, brothers and sisters. He took the sting out of death, if you would. Now, that statement that Christ has conquered death refers obviously to his resurrection. He who was dead is now alive. Revelations 1 and 8. He was dead, but he is not dead any longer. Amen. The Lamb in Revelations 5 is standing. One that looks like he has been slain is standing. We understand that Christ conquered death is a very critical portion of the Bible. If we do not believe that, then our faith is in vain. It says that, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If Christ be not raised from the dead, you are yet in your sins. Those who have died are in their sins. They perish, and your fate should be pitied. You're wasting your time. If he's still in the grave, then we are wasting our time here tonight. We need to quit coming to church. We need to quit singing about it. Quit reading your Bible. Now, that sounds strange to you, and I'm not saying that as if you ought to do that. Why? Because I know he rose from the dead. Amen. Paul wanted us to understand that our faith is based on this idea that he's raised from the dead. If you deny the resurrection, you are not a Christian. Martin Luther King Jr. in America, a lot of people say, look, done a lot of good things. He denied the resurrection of Christ. Now look, you can acknowledge some good things that somebody does without acknowledging everything or agreeing with them on everything. I believe we can do that. But notice this, he denied the idea of the bodily resurrection of Christ. We must understand that that's what separates us from the rest of this world. Jesus' resurrection, notice this, marks the first time in history that somebody rose from the dead and never died again. He was not the first one to raise from the dead. We can read in the Old Testament of a few examples. We can read about Jairus' daughter. We can look there, if you would, at John 11, 38 through 44, at the raising of Lazarus. But the difference is this. Every one of those that came out of the grave went back in. Yes, Lazarus, they moved the stone. He walked out of the grave, and they took the grave clothes off of him. But there was a point in time in his life, they wrapped him back up in grave clothes, and they put him back in the tomb. I don't know if it was the same one or not, but I know this. He went back in there. They never conquered death, but Jesus Christ came out of the grave, amen, and never went back in. He has a glorified body. He still has that body today. He's at the right hand of the Father. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. I like what Peter says in Acts 2 and 24. Basically, he says, a little updated language here, but it was impossible for death to keep a hold on him. It just could not do it there in Acts 2 and 24. He's letting them know death could not hold him. It was impossible. It could not keep his grip upon his life. It may be able to grip your life and my life if you would physically, but because I am in Christ, you know, there's a blessed life. There's a blessed hope that we have. It could not hold Christ, and because I'm in Christ, it cannot hold me. Notice this, the triumphant and risen Christ even said this. He says in Revelations 1 and 18, he says, I am the one. I'm that living one. I'm the resurrected one. I was dead and I am alive now forevermore. Praise the Lord. He'll never die again. There'll be nothing in the existence of this world that'll ever snatch Jesus off the throne and kill him, if you would, and put him back in the grave. It just cannot happen. And just as we are, notice that, that's what the Bible talks about. We are anchored beyond the veil. We are anchored in the resurrection of Christ. We are anchored anchored in that. So with that assurity, when I leave this world, if I am in Christ, I have a blessed hope that my body will not stay in that ground. It's going to get up. Amen. I realize that committal services don't seem to be as popular anymore, but there's something important about when we put that body in the ground and we talk about it will not stay here. It will not stay here. There'll come a point in time that body's going to get up from the ground, and we do that in blessed expectation and blessed hope. Amen. Now, I've got a large portion of my family that's buried in Happy Home Cemetery on Happy Home Road in Tyner, North Carolina. Some people often say, is that a real road? Yeah, it is. I was raised on Happy Home Road. Praise the Lord. But there's a cemetery there, and I've got a lot of loved ones that's gone on before who died in Christ. And I often get a little excited about it, that one day in the resurrection, those loved ones that maybe died and cannot communicate, no, they're communicating, if you would, in their intermediate state, but not physically. There's going to come a point in time, maybe they're talking about the resurrection now. Maybe they reflect upon it now, that one day at Happy Home Cemetery, the grave is going to give up the dead, and they're going to rise in the sky, and they're going to be with the Lord. Now, I'm getting a little ahead of myself because I get excited about this, that you and I get to partake in the blessed resurrection. Now, another thing I was going to mention this morning I didn't get to is this. We are also delivered from the second death. Now, we talk about the first death a lot, okay? First death, physical. All right, you're going to die. Physically, you're going to die. Your soul goes to be with the Lord. But notice what it says in Revelation 2 and 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Notice Revelation 20 and 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000, the millennial reign of Christ. Amen. Revelation 20 and 4, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Brothers and sisters, not only do unbelievers experience a first death, where their body goes in the ground and then their soul goes to a place of torments, but there's going to come a point in time that they're giving a body that is conditioned in the resurrection, the great white throne judgment. The sea's going to give up the dead. Their soul, their fallen soul is going to be reunited with that body. It's going to be conditioned for the lake of fire, and they're going to go to what's called the second death. But you and I, as believers, once you die that one time, once you go to sleep, if you would, you'll never have to go to sleep again in that body. It's going to be glorified unto eternal bliss. What a blessing it is. Why would anybody not want to serve the Lord? Amen. If you really believe this, I often hear people say sometimes, you know, I believe all that, Brother Derek, but I don't know if I just want to serve the Lord. I say, you don't really believe that. You don't really understand and comprehend where you're going and what you're going to partake in. Why would you want to live for 20 or 30 years in this world, living to the flesh, living to the lust of the flesh, but be cast into an eternal lake of fire? It just doesn't make any sense. I ain't the smartest man in the world, but I realize this. I'd rather sacrifice now and enjoy the goodness of God now and die and go to be with Him in eternal bliss. It doesn't do nothing but get gooder and gooder. The longer that we live, God is good to us, and we need to accept this by faith. And our second point we didn't get to this morning is this. We talked about the evidence, but let's look at the events that it talks about here. Now, these are futuristic. This morning, what we talked about is faith in past things, the death and the resurrection of Christ, and the word of the Lord that was established. But notice what it says in verses 16 and 17. It tells us about the events that are going to take place during the resurrection. Now, I obviously don't have time here tonight to craft all this out and to answer every question, but I'm going to hit it, if you would, at 30,000 feet and point out the high points if we can. Notice what it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Number one, let's look at this portion of Scripture and bring out some things. Notice the majesty of his revelation. We are going to see the Lord. The Lord Himself. Hey, I'm going to stop right there. The Lord Himself. When He died, He stayed here for 40 days showing Himself infallible proofs. Then He ascended. And they're gazing up in the heavens, and they're even telling those who are watching, why stand ye here gazing? There's come a point in time He's coming back. He's not going to send an angel. He's not going to send a saint. He's going to come back Himself. One day the Savior who was raised on that resurrection morning, who is now is ascended, who is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, is going to rise up from His throne, step down from the lofty heights of heaven's splendor, and we are going to meet Him in the air. Just like a bride going out to meet the bridegroom, we are going to go meet Him in the air Himself. And I get plumb excited about this, that I get to see Him, what I have lived for by faith, what I have sacrificed for by faith. I get to go be with Him. He's coming back Himself. John 14 and 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places, I'm sorry. And as we joked about with Brother Ryan, he says, a giant dormitory, ain't it? It's the cry of a military man. It's better than that. It's a dwelling place that we can't even comprehend. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, we read that and we quote it. He is working on something for you and I to enjoy in the heavenlies. Now, we could get into the New Jerusalem and all those things, but I'm just going to stop there and pause. He's working on, He's preparing something. It's not done yet. Are you saying, is it a construction project? It's bigger than that. Amen. Something spiritual in nature about this. He's constructing something with the saints of God. He's putting, anytime somebody leaves this world, God is hands-on working on something and preparing something for us. But He goes on to say, if I go to prepare a place for you, common sense says this. What is He going to do? I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that there where I am, ye may be also. What a promise. We get to go be with the Lord. Now, people sometimes say, why do you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture? Because if you don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture, you think the rapture takes place at the end. You go up and you come right back down for the millennial reign. That can't be right. He says, look, there's something special for the saints, something special for those who are in Christ, something special for those in the church dispensation. I'm working on something for you, and when I come again, I'm going to receive you. Notice that. I'm going to bring you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Some people are saying, now those who are skeptics would say, or are skeptical of the pre-tribulation rapture would say, that was just for the disciples. No, no, no. That's for you as well. We get to go be with the Lord. I love that verse, and it is well with my soul. Lord, haste the day when our faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trumpet shall sound, our Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. There's an assurance in this idea and understanding that He's coming back for His church. Now, just imagine seeing Him on that day. Now, I guess a small equivalent in our minds may be the day of our wedding. You know, there's so much preparation that goes into that meeting and that time. And I remember standing up front in a Fuquay Varina Full Gospel Church and seeing my bride come down the aisle. And I would like to tell you, I held it all together. I bawled like a baby. Some folks, you know, they say, I don't cry very. I cried like a baby. And that old silk handkerchief that came with that tuxedo won't worth 5 cents. I mean, it don't do anything but make it worse. At that moment in time, there's something about the covenant we're entering into. Something precious about that moment. And look, I love my wife with all of my heart, but on that day, look, we get to be the bride this time, and He's the bridegroom, and we're going to rise to meet Him in the air. Look, I would have loved to have seen Him when He lived in this world, and I would have loved to sit down and eat with Him. I would have loved to see Him eat miracles, but I would love to see Him do miracles. But notice this, brothers and sisters, when I get to see Him on on that day when he comes again. I will behold him. The Lord himself will descend with a shout. And I am looking forward to that time, brothers and sisters, we get to go be with him. People often say, I'd love to see so-and-so in this life. And it may be an athlete or a celebrity. I don't care about seeing none of them. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't have no desire to travel this world to see some carnal celebrity. But one day I get to behold him and I get to see him, and I cannot wait for that day. Amen. Just imagine the majesty of that moment. Whew. What you live for your whole life, you get to see. I can't wait to see just how wrong Christian art's been. A European Jesus is not the Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. We get to see what he behold. We get to behold him in all of his beauty and majesty and splendor. Secondly, not only that, there's the miracle of his resurrection. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Notice this. This is a very specific resurrection. Not all of the dead are going to get up, but the dead in Christ. This is not a general resurrection. There's a resurrection of the saved and the resurrection of the lost. This is the part of the first resurrection. This lets us know we get to behold him. For the Lord himself shall descend with heaven from heaven with a shout. Now it's interesting here about this shout and this trumpet and all of these things. And there's a lot of debate about it. But a lot of people say, I wonder who's the one doing the shouting here. And look, you can formulate your own opinions and study the words yourself. But I believe, just like Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, that day Jesus said, Jesus, Lazarus, come forth. I believe there's going to be a cry that goes from the resurrected, glorified Savior's lips, and he's going to call all the saints up together in the air. I don't know how he's going to say it or what he's going to say. Maybe he's going to say, get up here. Come forth. Whatever he says, the dead and the graves are going to open up, and those who died in Christ are going to get up from the grave. Boy, have you know, all the different ideas about this. What is it going to look like? One writer said maybe a graveyard with a bunch of Christians is going to look like somebody plowed it up. I don't know. I don't know all the nature of this, but I know what's going to happen. And the graves are going to give up the dead. Now, what a glorious day this is going to be. Imagine about all the believers who maybe have died in a desert, or maybe died as a martyr and was burned at the stake. Maybe died in a prison and they scattered their bones. Maybe they died in the ocean, whatever it was. Maybe they're buried here, but every nation, notice this, every nation in this world that has believers in it. I've been to Tanzania and witnessed where they bury the bodies. I've been to Haiti and witnessed their cemeteries. And I've been to different places in the world. I passed graveyards in different states for years. But at one point in time, when he says, get up here and calls us forth, every grave's going to open up. The sea, that those who died in Christ in the sea and in the deserts, it's going to open up. And even though there may be just the bodies may be decomposed, by God's miraculous power, he's going to put it all back together like Ezekiel's dry bones. He can put it all back together. He don't need any help. He don't need your help or my help. He has enough power to do it, and God is going to do it on that day. Guess what? The Apostle Paul, wherever his body is going to come forth. Peter and all the disciples is going to come forth. My grandparents who have died in Christ, what hope we have. Thirdly, there's the mystery of the rapture. Notice this. We talked about those who are dead in Christ. You know all these things. But then we which are alive and remain. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be alive at that time, but if I am, what's going to happen to me? Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Think about that. The word caught up there. People get all wrapped up in this. They say the word rapture is never mentioned in the Bible. And I often say the word Trinity is not mentioned in the Bible. The word incarnation is not mentioned in the Bible. The word Bible is not mentioned in the Bible. And must I go on? But this idea of being caught up, being snatched away. It's this idea, it's almost violent in nature, that something is going to pull us upward. This is the mystery of the rapture, and this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be all changed. Brothers and sisters, we're going to be glorified in that moment. Yes, those who are in the grave's going to give up the dead. Their souls going to be reunited with their body, and they're going to be glorified in some unique, miraculous, supernatural way. But just imagine what it would be like if you're alive in that moment in Christ, and all of a sudden your body and soul is a part of a great metamorphosis, and you are changed right in the twinkling of an eye. You get an upgrade. What is the new body going to be like, the glorified body? It's going to be better than the one you got now, I promise. Amen. The older I get, the louder I say amen. This body is not what it should be. It is fleshly, if you would. It is temporal. Now, somebody may say something like this, Brother Derek. Boy, that sounds far-fetched. Boy, Brother Derek, I know what the Bible says, but how in the world is that? And look, and I would encourage you, don't just go read the Left Behind series and take it all for face value. They might have it wrong. But notice this, if you believe that's far-fetched, what do you say about how Elijah went to heaven in a chariot of fire? Do you think that's far-fetched? What do you think about how Enoch went to heaven, was translated? Is that far-fetched? No, dear friend, there will be a mystery of this. This is supernatural. This is powerful. God is going to call us forth. And if you don't have faith, you won't believe it. If you're trying to find a scientific explanation for it, you ain't going to find it. If you're waiting for them to put it in politics and say, you know what, we're going to talk about this and we're going to teach it in school, it ain't happening. Would they? No. Why? Because you got to believe this by faith. Another point I would point out to you is this. There's going to be a wonderful reunion in which we that are alive and remain shall be called up together with them. Who are them? The ones that came out of the grave. We're going to be called up together with them in the clouds. Stop. Reflect for a moment. Do you have a loved one that's gone on to be with the Lord? Maybe they're local. There's high potential that if you go by way of the rapture, that you might see them come out. There'd be some sort of way. Maybe you'll make eye contact. I don't know how quick it's going to be. Some people say, boy, it's going to happen so fast. Who knows? The twinkling of the eye may just be the change. Doesn't say that God's going to break your neck by pulling you up so fast. I don't know how quick it's going to be. There's theories and thoughts about all of this, and you can't be too dogmatic about all of it. But I'll tell you this, it's going to happen. There's going to be change in the twinkling of an eye. I don't know I can't tell you miles per hour how fast you're going to go up, but I know it's going to happen. Notice it says, with them to meet the Lord in the air. Third point here tonight. Number one, I'm underneath my third point. We get to meet Him. Right? Now, I know we mentioned this a little bit, the Lord Himself, but I get to meet Him. I get to meet Him. Right now, I would love if God would grant me some sort of special translation to the third heavens that I could go up there and just meet Christ face to face. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Oh, the questions I would ask, the clarifications, the doctrinal things I would settle. But on that day, we get to meet Him. Now, I did a little word study here, and I encourage you to do it in your own time. That word meet there is kind of a unique word. It's the idea of an ambassador who's going to meet someone on an official business. This isn't just to make me feel good. I get to go meet Him. Yes, I'm going to be with Him, but I'm going to meet Him. And how many know there's a judgment of believers? I'm not teaching on the judgment of believers here tonight. But I'll tell you this, there's going to come a point in time that I get to stand before him and meet him on this official capacity, if you would. The Bible tells us to occupy until he comes. And brothers and sisters, this is why you and I ought to be watching and waiting and laboring while it's still day. There's going to come a point in time that we're going to be held accountable. We are going to stand before it. We're going to meet him. I know this is talking about the resurrection, but again, this idea is this. I get to meet the bridegroom. I get to meet him. Goes on to say, we shall ever be with the Lord. Now, this is great news. This isn't just for a quick visit, right? What if you were just allotted, Brother Tommy, 15 minutes? Be wonderful, 15 minutes. I get to be ever with, I'll never be separated from him again. Now, think about that. I don't know what the average life expectancy is nowadays. I know it kind of goes up and down, but in a world of technology and modern medicine, I think it's moved up some over the years. I often pray, I said, Lord, in my personal life, I'd like to see my kids grow up. I wouldn't mind some grandkids if God would allow that to be. But if God allows me to live 80 years, I could say, Lord, you've been good. Been good if I leave today. But 80 years is nothing in light of eternity. I know we're living in a time right now of the absent bridegroom, if you would. We don't get to see him. We get to feel his presence. The Holy Ghost witnesses in our hearts and he's interceding for us. But there's going to come a point in time we're going to go be with him and never, ever, 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 ever be separated from him again. You will forever be with the Lord. Lastly, I'll mention a few things about that. What does that mean? It means continuation. It assumes that we get to be with the Lord forever. He's with us now in spirit, but we get to be with him then. We have hope when we die. We get to be with him. There's future confidence. And it's almost, if you would, a promotion and advancement when you die. Think about that. When you leave this world, if you're a believer, consider it a promotion. You know, we like promotions on our job and ministry. You know, for me, I would say, look, what's a promotion in ministry? From servitude to servitude to servitude. I love being promoted. It's wonderful. I love being blessed of the Lord and maybe being promoted in the heart, if you would. But imagine leaving this world, you're absent in this body, but you get to be with him forever. That will never change when you leave this world. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Can I comfort you here this evening? I know, like Sister Parnell, her heart no doubt is heavy. But aren't you glad to know that when loved ones leave this world in Christ, we have hope? But let's not complicate it. Okay. The dead in Christ shall rise first. So who's going to go in the rapture? Those who are in Christ. The dead in Christ. And aren't you glad to know that we can comfort one another with these words? There's an old saying, you've heard this, Maranatha. It's kind of the word that means this. They would greet each other with that, Maranatha. It would kind of mean this. When you, instead of saying hello or goodbye, they would say this, which means, oh Lord, come, or come Lord quickly. Why did they say that so much in the early church? Because they had such an expectation that the Lord could come any moment. What if we would greet each other that way? Oh Lord, come. We leave church here tonight. Oh Lord, come. The Lord's coming, keeping that on our hearts and minds. What if we kept such an, I believe that God intended for us to keep such an upward look that he could come any moment. He could come any moment. I read a little story about a young girl talking to her mommy. In Sunday school, they talked about the rapture. Anybody remember being a kid and they talking about the rapture and trying to figure that one out? Woo! It's kind of neat trying to explain it to my kids now. We're going to go up there, we're going to meet Jesus, and we're going to go away, and you can't get in the tribulation yet. They can't comprehend all that. But one day a little girl heard in Sunday school about the rapture. And the little girl's riding home said, "Mommy, do you believe that Jesus will come back?" Mom said, "Yeah, I believe he's coming back, sweetie." The little girl said, "Today?" Mom said, "Well, now think about it. Yeah, I believe he could come back today." "In a few minutes?" "Yes, dear." "Mommy, could you comb my hair real quick?" I read that and it touched my heart of childlike faith. "Can you fix my hair, Mama? Because I just might see the King today." I wonder, look, most of us ain't worried about fixing our hair. You know, turn gray or turn loose, it is what it is. I ain't worried about how my hair's going to look, but I care about my heart. I care about the kingdom. I care about this church. I care about my family. I care about each other. And look, I ain't worried about fixing my hair, but I want to make sure my soul's right. He could come back any moment. Stand to your feet here tonight. He could come back any moment. "Mommy, would you comb my hair?" I would ask you, Lord, if you're here tonight, if you would just get your mind on the Lord right now. Now, I want you to think about this. What if we knew? There's no way we'll know. Brother Lee, what if we could get some sort of update that he's coming tonight? 12 o'clock, he's going to be here. Would it affect the way you live? Is there anything you go home and throw away? You say, "Well, I know he's not coming tonight, so I'll throw it away." Is there anything you change? Is there anything you'd repent over? Is there somebody you call? I know we don't know the hour and the time and the moment, but we are to live in such a way that we have an upward look. He could come today. And this doesn't mean that you can't be active in this world. I realize we still got to live. But I believe we can live ready. The old saying is rapture ready. Ready to go any moment. I want my wife to go to the piano. Let's pray, church. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness here today. And Lord, I've done my best, God, to share about a very familiar truth about the resurrection. God, there's coming a point in time you're coming back. You're coming back. Maranatha, the Lord's coming. Oh, Lord, come. We pray, God, that we'll be ready for that hour. Pray we'll be looking. God, help us to be about the Father's business, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, touch your children. Help us in this hour. Touch us, Lord, and help us. God, help us to comfort one another with these words. Bless your people, God. Have your way in these altars. Move in these altars here tonight. And have your way in the service. In Jesus' name. Find you a place to pray here tonight, church. Prepare your heart. Just like that little girl. "Mama, can you comb my hair? I wonder what you would do in preparation for his return." Oh, thank God for the rapture. Thank God for the resurrection. That we can be in Christ.